happening? Welcome back to the Right Read Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff at Bias Houston. I'll pass it to my left.
I'm Isaiah. You can find me on Twitter at user GZ Supremacy.
Hi, DeAndre over here, the other Will. I guess Aura Will was what it was today. Auralytics CEO. We are going to push that to the moon. You can find me on Twitter at Willems, WILLLUMZ.
And I'm Usad, not pushing any agendas today. You can find me at UsadNBA on Twitter.
All right, and continuing the series that we've kept up for the past couple of episodes now, ranking the top 10 players at each position. Today's list, I think, should be interesting. Arguably the deepest position in basketball. Maybe you can argue it with point guard. A super stacked list. This is going into next season, so Jason Tatum will not be on this list at all, obviously, towards Achilles in last year's playoffs. I think leading it off, though, it should be pretty unanimous as to who the number one power forward is in basketball.
Yeah.
Do we all have that?
We all have Giannis Antetokounmpo. As I was saying, he's top three player in basketball when he's healthy. You could argue even higher than that. Perennial MVP candidate if he plays enough games. Had debatably his most efficient and best mid-range season last year, in addition to his continued dominance at the rim. I think what he does on both ends, what he does specifically for Milwaukee, with the lack of good players they have on that team, which there's no other way to say it. They're starting KPJ, Kyle Kuzma, Bobby Portis. I mean,
shout out Ryan Rollins, man.
Yeah, Ryan Rollins. Dame Lillard was out for a lot of the year. Corpse of Brooke Lopez, we mentioned, is not, and he's not even going to be there anymore. He's essentially their pick and roll operator. He's also their main big help defense. Damn near plays POA defense at times. Just everything he does for that team. I'd argue if you could do MVP every year specifically for a team, it's no doubt that Giannis is the most important player to the Bucks versus any other individual player to their team in the league. Just, and that's, I mean, that's an insult to their GM, honestly, because he's still so good, and the fact that none of us think they're a contender this year.
I mean, they got that.
It's kind of,
Was it like $20 million in dead cap?
Yeah, because they, they have Miles Turner now. Sorry. So
I was going to say, not to go too much into the Bucks preview, because we're going to get to that at a later time, right?
Yeah.
But didn't you tell us a stat where, or not a stat, a fact where like no team has ever won a, is it a series or a championship?
Yeah, so I looked this up when they did the wave and stretch with Miles Turner, and no team has ever won the championship with more than 5% of their salary cap in dead money. And with Miles Turner, they're going to have about 15-17%, depending on how the cap projects out over the next few years, in dead cap. And this is a lot of numbers, but think about the Rockets just signed Jabari Smith to a five-year extension, right? His number is going to come in about 15-17%. They're essentially costing themselves a player of that caliber for the rest of Giannis's prime and contention window. Lord, and that's why that dead cap number is significant.
He
I think
be there for the rest.
That's a whole other.
We can get into a hot take. I don't know. He might be there for more than a year or two, but whatever. I think we all have Giannis at number one for a reason. He's that guy. Giannis.
I think number two would be interesting. I don't want to lead this off because if you watch the last episode, you know the guy who's hanging back there, Kevin Durant, I had on my small forward list. So I'm intrigued to see who everybody has it to now.
So I'm realizing you guys don't have this guy at two, and I don't know how he's somehow becoming kind of underrated. But second team All NBA last year, the kid from Akron. He's playing power forward this year next to Luka. I still think LeBron James is the second best power forward in the NBA. I think he provides more playmaking than KD ever has in his career. I don't think at this point in their career, the defense is that crazy different. KD's not going to be really asked to guard anybody. LeBron's not really being asked to guard anybody, ideally, right? And then just overall offensively, he still averaged like 29 almost. He's averaged like 24. Like nine, like seven, seven. Like he's not averaging. Like it's not like his PRA is falling off a cliff. He's still uber efficient. He's having his best shooting seasons down the stretch of his career. Like you can talk about impact metrics. This, that. I think the Lakers just had a bunch of other problems going on.
You talk about how like you just swap him and Luka, and they're just.
I mean, he's not better than Luka. This isn't a convo about the best players in the league.
We'll get to.
I just think. The guys we're going to name.
I was like, do any of you guys have LeBron at two?
No, I have KD.
I'll stand on this island alone. I know he's going into this age 40 to 41 season, but
he's on my list. He's not there.
Yeah, it'll be
okay. So
I don't have KD at two. I have Anthony Davis at two. He's a better basketball player than LeBron James is in 2025. It's just that
when he's on the court.
Yeah, when he's on the court, sure. He played, I want to say, 40 something games last season. But if Anthony Davis is healthy, he's just a better basketball player. What he is as a defender, what he is as a play finisher, as a post scorer, he's a better passer than I think a lot of people give him credit for. He's just more impactful right now. Like, and it's no diss to LeBron, where he's 40. Like, his kid's in the league. Like, you're not supposed to be the second best power forward while your kid's in the league. Like, it's fine, bro. Like, he's still going to be top three on everybody's list, top three or top four on everybody's list. So he's still a level player, but
later than four.
Yeah, it's just like he's just not.
For me, it's just self-creation and playmaking that makes me tip the cap to LeBron.
I mean, your self-creation isn't as good anymore.
It's not as far from bad. It's still one of the best.
It's still really good. I would say, I do think KD at this point is a better and more consistent defender, because I think LeBron, like, when he's dialed in, locked in, I mean, he can still lock up pretty well, especially for his age. But there was times where LeBron was bad defensively last year. Like, and it's not even because, like, he just can't play.
It's a motor.
It's the lack of motor, focus. Yeah. He doesn't have the energy to. And, I mean, it makes sense. He's 40 years old. So, like, it makes sense that he's.
So, who's your number two, KD?
So, funny enough, right? So, I did, when we did the top, was it 15 players in the league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had AD. Over the last couple weeks, I have debated it. And I docked AD a little bit of points because of the injury tax. And I think that the role KD's going to play for the Rockets. So I did move KD up to my number two, but I moved Anthony Davis to my number three. So they're honestly, I think it could go either way. I could argue to you, AD's better, KD's better, but I do have KD's my number two. Not to go too, you know, deep into that, because we've kind of talked about that a couple of times down the pod, but I think that he's just like, if you were to design the missing piece for the Rockets last season, it was Kevin Durant. Like, everything he's all time great at, we were pretty bad at last season. So it's like the thing where it's like he does a lot of things that we needed him to do. We needed last season. And I think we're also the perfect situation for him in the sense of this is the first time in his career where he's not going to be poor. Not the first time in his career. The first time in his career since OKC where he's not going to be tasked with playing center for the team he's playing for. We have not only a starting caliber center, we have a backup center.
You got a backup.
You know what I'm saying? The only time where KD has to play five is if we want to go like small ball five. You know what I'm saying?
And even then, you can make the argument that you'd rather throw Jabari at the five anyways.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, and you have a guy like that, or DFS, who's example, who's played five in the past, right? So he doesn't do that. He doesn't do too much defense because we do have a lot of those guys who are they're calling cards on the defensive end. We have the rebounders. Yeah. His job is some of the easiest probably ever been in his life, since maybe like Golden State. Just get buckets, KD. And if there's one guy in the league who can get buckets at an all-time great level, it's Kevin Durant. So I have him at number two.
Yeah, my thing with LeBron is his on-off numbers are just really nasty, dude. And, you know, as a person, you know, Bron, my goat, it's bad, bro. Like, we talking about, like, I want to say off top, it's like, what, like negative 6 or 7? As opposed to, like...
Yeah.
When like Luka and Austin Reeves are on together, it's better. When Austin Reeves is on by himself, I think it's better. And then obviously when Luka's on by himself, it's better. So I gotta look at you a little bit and say, okay, why is this? And I do think a lot of that is because of what we said with the motor problems with defense. Cause he's 40, right? You're not supposed to be out playing defense at an elite level at 40 years old every game. So I think that kind of does dock him in a regular season. Playoff wise, still think he's I think he's a top 10 player still when it comes to postseason. But I don't think you can rank a player based off of only postseason, because 85-90% of the season for a lot of these guys, probably even a higher number than that, is regular season. Because unless you get to the finals all the way, we're talking about 82 games versus like 25 at max. So I think I do have to dock him there, because I think KD is also a really good playoff player, even though he's had his worst the last few years.
Who is your number two?
Regular season, KD.
Okay. So you guys both have KD at two.
So you have Bron at three. You have AD at three.
Yep.
Who's your three?
KD.
You have KD at three?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it seems like we're all shuffling the same few names here.
Do you have AD at four?
I don't want to spoil it too much.
Oh, my goodness.
I do. Fine. I have AD at four. I have AD at four.
I don't have LeBron at three.
Who do you have at three?
I don't either.
I will say on the top 15 list, LeBron was ahead, but similar to Will, I kind of started going back and forth. I think next season, Evan Mobley will be better. I think next season, Evan Mobley will be
better,
more impactful basketball player.
Mobley's on my list. He's a lot lower. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm going to be honest. Him being a lot lower than... Mobley's floor is four. He was DPOY last year, dude. And even if you say, like, Wimby, Chet, he's the third best defender in basketball. Ever growing as a play finisher. The self-creation chops continue to get better and better. 38% on three attempts a game from three, if that goes up. You can live with a little efficiency dive here and there, but dude, his impact on the game of basketball, genuinely, and I can't just say next year he'll probably be on the center list because I think eventually they're going to have to move on from the double big experiment with Jared Allen because all metrics indicate you take Jared Allen off the floor and just stick Evan Mobley there, he's better. He's even better than what he is with Allen. He's better with Donovan on the floor. He's better without Donovan. He's better with Garland. He's better without Garland. Like, he's that good at basketball. Like, he genuinely is. Like, if he doesn't make an All-NBA team next year, I'd be disappointed in him. Like, I think this is a guy that next year should be looking like 22-11, still giving you DPOY chops. That's more valuable than what I think LeBron James is going to give you as a secondary creator who's going to take nights off defensively. I just think what Mobley's going to provide is just going to be so invaluable. Y'all know how I feel about Donovan Mitchell. I think he's the Cavs' best player. I think Evan Mobley is the Cavs' best player. I think he's easily their most impactful.
I disagree.
Easily their most impactful. I don't think that can be argued. Like, he's that good. And I think next season he's going to take another leap. And I think he'll pass some of these unks, man. The unks ain't got to end at some point.
I mean, I will say, I have Mobley on my list. I'm a sucker for PRA, but until LeBron comes out and he's not near, like, 25, 7, 7.
You having him lower? I don't want to spoil it, but I'm curious to where, because you said you have him lower.
I have him lower than 3.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
But you said a lot.
Okay. Don't spoil it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
But okay, so.
And LeBron is my 4. I will. Just, okay. So people don't.
So
think
LeBron's
like,
your 4.
No, diving in completely.
So AD is my 4.
I have AD at 3, LeBron at 4. I'm gonna let him go because I want dice on LeBron in a second.
You got it.
I have 80 at 4. I was going to say on the most.
Who'd you have for 3?
LeBron.
LeBron. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
okay.
The same. Everybody got the same.
He just got the Mobley X factor.
Man, I think for me personally, I think until he plays the 5 full time, I can't give you the same pub as like the 2-way 5. Because, you know, historically speaking, that is like the most impactful archetype in league history, right? It's the 2-way play finishing 5. But the problem is, Mobley does not play the 5 full time. He does do it for like 40% of his minutes, but I have to look at you a little sideways when I look at like Jared Allen's defensive rating when he's on, and it's very close to the same defensive rating as when Mobley's on and Jared Allen's off. Obviously, Mobley's the best defender on the team because when it comes down to it, when they have to play these smaller teams, they put Evan Mobley.
He's way more switchable. Yeah, he can guard the perimeter better than Allen.
They played the Pacers. He played the 5. They played the Celtics. He played the 5. They played the Magic in the playoffs last year. He played the 5, right? But until he does that full time, I can't give him that pub. And then with the self creation, a lot of it is mismatch dependent, and that's kind of a problem to me because it's like an AD issue. But the problem is AD does play the 5 full time, and he does give you 5 impact full time, as opposed to like playing the 4. So when I look at it, it's like Mobley, for lack of a better way of explaining it, he's like 85% of AD. And I don't know if 85% of AD is better than KD or LeBron right now. Now, if he comes out and he's playing center full-time next year, then yeah, you're right. He's easily top 3 on this list. He's probably, I'd argue that he's pushing 2. But until he does, I don't know if I can put him over these guys.
I mean, that's fair. It's just for me, I don't think 40-year-old LeBron James is going to be as good as everybody
else. He's going to take a decline.
I mean, that's fair.
I mean, you want to go on your LeBron ISO?
So my LeBron ISO is actually positive. It's not negative. So I have LeBron at 4. But I did let y'all know I wanted to talk about something that happened on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
At this point, about a week ago. So I have the tweet pulled up. I'll shout him out. I don't know this. Actually, I'm not going to shout him out because what this dude's like racist or something. I'm not going to shout him out. But it's a dude on Twitter. He says, hot take, Stephen Curry was more feared in the NBA than LeBron James in 2016.
That wasn't an outlandish take tweet?
This is a real take. And so I quote tweeted it, and I said, the funniest part about these conversations is that no one in 2016 thought Curry was better than Bron. I then followed it up in the comments, and I said, we saw who the best player in the entire world was during the finals that year.
I think you just messed up saying no one.
So I was going to say that my first mistake, and I'm meant to admit when I am wrong. I think, because I got a bunch of pushback. Matter of fact, I wonder if it's still getting... People was very mad at me.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, the most recent one was 3 days ago, so it's kind of calmed down a little bit. But people were very mad at me when I said this. They were very, very mad. People in the comment section. Shout out to Omo. Mustard. We're going to get him on the show sometime soon. But he was very mad at me for what... Made a whole YouTube video about it, actually. They was mad that I said that, right? And so I would like throw out the caveat. I shouldn't have said no one. That was the mistake that I made in the tweet. there were people who thought Steph Curry was the best player in the world. Just like people who thought KD was the best player in the world at that point in time. Like, you're going to find, there's no such thing as a monolithic opinion.
There's no undisputed champion.
Yeah, so like, I'm, my mistake, I shouldn't have said that. What I was trying to communicate, what I meant when I said that, was that the majority of people believe it was LeBron James's league. He was the best player in the world. And the reason I believe that is, once again, and people say, well, Will, it's because of the 2016 season. That's where he had, where Steph Curry had the unanimous MVP season. And LeBron didn't have his statistical best season relative to what we could expect from him. Because remember, he was winning MVPs like two seasons prior to that, right?
Yeah.
And so my pushback, number one, was I think it is possible to have a better season and not be a better basketball player. And I feel like all the evidence I need is, because a lot of people were mad, were Warriors fans, right? How dare you say LeBron was better than Steph Curry in 2016? Okay, so by that same, if the logic is, if you have the better season, you're the better basketball player, well, is James Harden a better basketball player than Steph Curry from 2019 to 2021? When James was killing it. Regular season had a historically great season in 2019. 2021, I think he was probably going to win MVP that year, or at least finish very high.
Before he got hurt,
if he didn't get hurt that year, right? Does that mean
James,
is James a better basketball player than Steph Curry?
I think NBA Twitter doesn't know the difference between greatest and best. Like, if it's the age old, like, who's the greatest, who's the best, who's the... I think when you break it down to even single season stuff, like, to your point, the MVP is not always the best player in basketball. Very rarely is he the best player in basketball. Like, SGA had one hell of a season.
Yeah, he's not the best player in the league.
Let's say Nikola Jokic is still the best player in basketball. So I'd argue, I don't think from 2008 up until 2020, there's nobody on planet Earth that was better at the sport of basketball than LeBron James.
I don't even think it's got to be that complicated. The way you rank players is always at the conclusion of a season. It's the reason we're doing these lists in the summer and not February. Like, no one ever says, like, oh, in 2016, requires that the entire season be played. And I don't think there's a single person at the end of the 2015 or the 2016 season that came away from watching those final series and said, oh yeah, I think Steph Curry was better than LeBron.
Because a lot of people in the comment section were telling me that it was like the game where he hit that game winner against the Thunder.
Yeah.
That was like a February, March game. And they were like, became the best player in the world. I'm like, so that's like it.
I don't understand how you can take that title before the season is over.
And so I have two final points and I'll wrap it up, right? The first of which, you know how I know LeBron James was viewed as the best player in the world that time? Because he had the most expectations in the world at that point in time. Like, nobody in the league was held to more expectations than LeBron James. When they went down 3-1 in that finals that year, you know whose legacy was going to take the biggest hit? LeBron James. If they lost that series, maybe it's a hot take. I'm not sure that there is a debate who the GOAT is if LeBron loses that series. I think it's just Jordan.
No, probably not.
Time. Yeah, I agree.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? His legacy was on the line right there. The reason why in 2018, when Kyrie Irving's in Boston, Kevin Love is a shell of himself, and the Warriors are, like, stacked, you know, to a historically great level. You know why Stephen A. Smith went on ESPN and said the King couldn't get you one? He's the best player in the world. Like, when you are the greatest player, when you're compared to Michael Jordan, the expectations are, oh, yeah, you're going to win it all at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And my last point I want to make as to why I think it's just clear that LeBron – well, I would say clear. That's the wrong word to use. But I think LeBron was just the best player in basketball that year. When the 2015 finals ended, there was no question who the best player on that court was. It was LeBron James. When the 2016 finals concluded, there was no question who the best player on the court was. It was LeBron James. When Steph Curry and LeBron squared off in 2017 and 2018, it was clear as day LeBron James was better than Steph Curry. My question is, because a lot of people say, well, like, for example, Omo, he said that at the end of the season, LeBron reclaimed the title. My question to you, and I'm a...
Yeah, how do you lose a title mid-season?
My question to y'all, and I'm gonna end it, I'm done talking. And listeners at home, you can let me know what you think. If we can all agree at the end of the season, LeBron James was the best player in basketball, what happened between the end of the regular season when Steph wins MVP and the end of the finals and LeBron's the best player in the world? Did Steph get worse? Did LeBron get better? Or was LeBron just better the whole time?
I don't know.
I'll take the hand off here. So, you know, while Will was talking, did a little quick research. So, from 2015 to
bro sound evil like
2015 to 2016 regular season and playoffs, a little leverage removed. When Stephen Curry is on the court, the Warriors are a plus 15.5. When he's off the court, they're a plus 2.4. In that same time frame, 2015, 2016, so 2014, 15, 2015, 16, all games, regular season and playoffs, when LeBron is on the court, the Cavs are a plus 11.1. When LeBron is off the court, the Cavs are a negative 4.
Jeez.
So I think statistically speaking, in those seasons, I can see the argument for Curry in 2015. I think LeBron, that's probably his worst season in his prime. You know, everyone knows about him going off for the 2 weeks with the back injury and just historically being inefficient to his standards that season. And obviously in 2016, he was a little bit better efficiency-wise, but it still wasn't to LeBron's standard.
Not LeBron.
Yeah.
With that being said, I mean, you look at all of these impact metrics over that two-year span, playoffs and regular season included, I mean, they're either really close or LeBron is slightly better. And if someone's already the best player and the most I can say is your numbers are close or even, then it kind of goes to the person. Because like Will said, I feel like the problem with this, and I think this is just the overarching problem, period, when we talk about ranking guys. So are we saying that Curry in 2017 is a worse basketball
Russell
player
Westbrook
in 2017 than he was in 2016?
Yeah, no, he lost his title somehow in February.
Are we saying that LeBron in 2017 or 2018 just magically got better? I don't think that happened. I think
that's
the same player. I think Curry, I would argue that as a player, Curry's peak is probably 2018 or 2019, actually. But
you could argue like 21, 22.
Yeah,
that kind of what it comes down to is like just say the guy had a better season.
Better regular season.
And I'll say, like, and for the listeners home who are mad at me, I agree. 2016 Steph had the better regular season than
that's
LeBron.
That's not even a debate.
I don't think he's a better player than LeBron.
I just looked this up because I was curious. Everybody knows about the NBA GM surveys that they do at the end of the season. After 2016, when Steph Curry was the best player on the planet, who will win the next year's MVP? LeBron James, half of the league. Which player forces opposing coaches to make the most adjustments? LeBron James, 3/4 of the league.
Come on, man.
Like, everyone still recognized at that point, like, yeah, Steph,
he's the greatest
great
player
season, bro. Yeah. Like, it's still just LeBron James right here.
No disrespect to Steph Curry, but
Am I number five?
Okay, we can take it.
Am I number five? I have a young defensive big who just won his first NBA championship. I have Chet Holmgren.
I don't have him as a four.
I count him as a five.
So I ranked him as a four because I think we all acknowledge the way that OKC runs their offense is not really with the traditional five at all. And I think that is a credit to Chet. And that's kind of the reason why I decided to rank him as a power forward, because if he was a traditional center in the sense that we think of a center, I don't think their offense would function the same way, which is why I feel like I have to rank him as a power forward. And I've always kind of considered Chet, he was like my favorite prospect in that draft. He was insanely efficient in Gonzaga. I think he had a down shooting season last year and he couldn't shoot very well in the playoffs, but yeah, obviously he shot terribly in the playoffs. All right. He's laughing already, but I don't think that's indicative of who he is as a player. And I think he is still young.
Yeah,
he missed his whole rookie year. Mm-hmm. Last year was essentially his sophomore season in the league. And I think that if we're projecting players out, specifically with guys like him and Mobley, one, to Isaiah's point, I've seen Chet be the low man for an entire playoff run twice now and be successful. And not just be successful, I'd argue last season he was the best defensive player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He quite literally was, while SGA carried the offense of the OKC basketball team, I think he carried that defense. Credit to Lu Dort. Credit to Caruso, the guys on the perimeter. That does not work if Chet's not back there just destroying everything that comes towards the rim. And when it comes to his offensive upside, I think he still has way, way more room to grow. And I believe a lot more in him becoming a competent shooter and self-creator than I do Mobley. And I don't know if that's a hot take.
I'll say question.
I don't know if that's a hot take, but I saw more of him in college doing that kind of stuff, the turnaround middies, the shooting touch.
I was going to say, so.
But he's not in year four. He's entering year three, essentially.
I don't really care about that.
If
you're about to be,
because I think we all,
you're getting a second contract.
We all have Chet Holmgren as a five, right? Everybody.
Yeah, I would. Okay.
If Chet was a five, would he be over or below Mobley?
I would have him above Mobley.
I think that
would you have him above or below Mobley?
I think he's a better shooter, so I would probably have him above Mobley.
I think I would have Mobley higher.
I would go back and forth on it. My thing with Chet is, in as great as he was defensively in the playoffs last season, man, his form needs to be completely reconstructed for it to be valuable. It's way too slow. It starts at the chin, then hits his forehead. You've seen some of like some clips. It looks like he's fixed it, but I've been hurt before. I played these games before, man, when it comes to summer highlights. So I just got to see. I think the self-creation stuff with him is like, self-creation at 7 foot looks different for everybody else. He's slow. Like, it doesn't matter how good of a dribble you are at 7 foot. You're slow.
He's slow. Like, I agree.
Behind the backs or whatever. He's not a great post-up scorer because he's skinny. He's going to get moved out the way. Yeah. Similar to Mobley, he's a mismatch runner. Like, if he's got a guy that's smaller than
him. I just feel like he has a lot of the same deficiencies as Mobley's, but I think he's going to be a way better shooter in this
career. Yeah, I think if that's the argument, that's fine. I think Mobley's more athletic, and I think that's something that's going to play into his hands a lot, especially as a driver, because that's one thing I think Mobley will have an edge on. I think Mobley has a chance to be a legitimate driving force in basketball. Like,
yeah, I agree with that.
And I will say, that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Seeing how much stronger Mobley's gotten from day one up until now, it's the reason why everyone's kind of looking like, maybe you guys just need to let him play the five now. Because he looks like he's physically ready to play full-time center minutes. He's a power forward right now. That's why he's on the power forward list. But I don't hate Chet at this spot. I think this would be around where I would have him if I listed him as a power forward. So,
yeah, with the Chet stuff, very quickly, not to drag it out too long. I think my favorite anecdote for Chet is in last year's playoffs, when you look at the on-off numbers, when Chet is on as the five, without Isaiah Hartenstein, and I'll go back and like retroactively pull the numbers up, but they're beating the brakes off the team. Like, from the second round forward, it's an absurd number. And when you look at literally any other on off combination, like even like when Ihart's on, Chet's off, when they're both on, like, it doesn't even come close. Like, Chet at the five, they look historically dominant. And so I do think that is a testament to what Usa was saying. Like, when he's playing, specifically when he's playing the five, like, he is like a generational defensive force.
Yeah. I do get your point, though. In 2005, Chet Holmgren's a power forward.
Yeah.
Like, playing the power forward. You throw him in there with KG and the Tim Duncan era, he's definitely a four. So I get the point on that.
Yeah. I'll spoil my number six. Or my
number five. Yeah. I'm the only one who's given a number five, right?
Yeah.
I'll give my number five. I had Siakam.
I also have Pascal Siakam at five.
Okay.
He is my six, because at five, I have Evan Mobley.
Yeah, okay. Mobley at five?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair. I'll say on Pascal Siakam, one, best story in basketball. I genuinely don't think, like, we keep talking about making documentaries for guys. He needs a doc as soon as he retires.
Incredible
Netflix, Peacock, somebody get on it. Like, he needs a documentary as soon as possible. But just basketball alone, he's a perennial 20-point-per-game scorer, and how he scores his 20 is so valuable to a team. He can be a one at times. You saw it in that Pacers series.
He was about a half of basketball away from being the reigning Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
And NBA Finals.
And NBA Finals MVP. Because he was winning that award.
I feel like Halliburton, and no disrespect to Halliburton, because he had an amazing playoffs, right? He had a lot of clutch shots. Probably one of the most clutch plus we've ever seen, right? I think a lot of Pascal's PR goes to Halliburton.
Yeah.
Pascal was really
They're not
good.
In those moments without
he
him.
He won Eastern Conference Finals MVP for a reason, and quiet as kept, sans like Halliburton going Super Saiyan in Game 7, which looked like he might have went Super Saiyan.
Could have happened.
He might have went Super Saiyan before he got hurt. But, like, sans that happening, if the Pacers won, I think Finals MVP is going to pass to Siakam.
It should have gone.
Yeah.
He's so good. Off the dribble, he's so good. I think his self-creation gets undervalued. I guess, like, he's not the best defender, I guess.
Shooting. I don't even think he's a bad defender.
I don't think he's bad. You compare him to, like, Giannis and AD.
He's complete. He's very complete.
I wouldn't say defense. I would say rim protection. It's something he
he's not as on the level of like rim protection as like Mobley.
The guys who've been listening,
The guys who be on the system.
He's anchoring the Pacers, though.
I mean, he's a good, I'm gonna say,
yeah.
I'll say they ran up the five a lot of times because Miles Turner kind of sucks.
Very good. I look at Siakam, I think he's one of the few players where you look at him and it's like you really don't have like a real like crazy weakness. Like, I think pull up 3-point shooting, I think, is probably the biggest thing I can. point two, but most large guys.
Not pull up shooting in general though, because that midi's on lock. He's my God. Better in the league. I joked.
He's just a good basketball player.
I joked about this last year. There was a game where Siakam was playing the Rockets, and I was literally
bro, I was at that game.
Yes. I was literally like, yo, I was like, crying. I was like, this is Somalian Kevin Durant. Like, this was insane.
Damn, what it was.
It was so frustrating.
It was insane.
I was at the game in person watching him fry our team, bro.
And to his credit, in the playoffs, that's what it felt like sometimes. It was just any shot. Within the line, he was just making.
I think people, one, forget how tall he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's tall. He's a real, like,
6'11.
Like, real, like, 6'9, no shoes. You're looking like, man, like, massive wingspan. And it's why his development story to me is just so awesome. Like, it's not like he's a, just a pure athleticism or pure power guy. Like, he's a legitimate skill guy. Like, that turnaround fade he's got, the spin move. I know that was the running joke for years. Like, the Siakam spin move. But like,
bro, he's legitimately skilled.
No, he's so skilled. He's like, he is.
There was a couple years where it was just the spin move. I will give.
I mean, even, bro, if you got the best spin move in the league, you're skilled.
If it ain't broke.
Well, shout out to Pascal Siakam, man.
Yeah, I have him at 7. So, I had Chet at 5, Mobley at 6, okay. Siakam at 7.
I have Mobley at 6.
You have Mobley at 6.
Who's your guy?
Oh, I have Siakam at
5. Yeah, Siakam at 5.
So I have Mobley at 5, Pascal at 6.
Okay,
we've been pretty consistent.
I was going to say, it's the same names besides him.
I have Jaren Jackson Jr. at 6.
No, but to be fair, his list is skewed because he didn't have KD.
He didn't have KD, that's true.
I don't have to debate there, though. He's not the next one.
I just still think that what he provides, I mean, you're a 6'11 guy that shoots 6+ threes a game. I think now that he's actually a power forward again next to Edie, you'll see what his impact is like on the defensive end next season. I don't know. I still think Jaren Jackson's a very talented player. Only reason I think he's not higher on this list is his scoring aggression, waivers. There are nights where Jaren Jackson Jr. remembers he's Triple J. He's a guy that's 6'11 with all the skill in the world. I think he doesn't realize how strong he is because sometimes he plays the way you expect a Chet to play, a Mobley to play. It's like, bro, back down and put some of these little dudes in the rim. That's, I think, something that I'm hoping to see him improve upon. I know it's a guy that's in, year 8, asking him to make improvements.
Say it's surprising your main issue is scoring aggression, because for me, what jumps out when I watch Jaren Jackson Jr. is the rebounding.
I mean, that's the easy.
Like,
he's like the definition of a tweener. Like, is he a center, or is he a power forward? Which one is he? Probably should be playing the five.
He's a power forward, I think.
But he probably should be at, like, if he was a better rebounder, you'd want him at the five.
Yeah.
I would say the rebounding thing for him has always been interesting to me, because you watch his games and it's not like he's out of position on rebounds. I will say, to give him a bit of grace, some of it is just him not attacking the ball. And that's something you got to look and be like, all right, what's stopping this? At least in previous years, last year it was a bit iffy with Edie, like them getting used to their fit. A lot of it is where he'd have made 4 rotations. Duh, he's not under the basket.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the one at securing this defensive rebound, dude. He had to go from low man, switched on the PNR. Now I'm backpedaling. Now I got a tag corner. Now I'm backpedaling again. You set up a side PNR. Guess who's got to guard it? It's me again. So I give him a little bit of grace on the rebounding. He does just need to attack the ball more, though. It's something that, especially now that you've got a 5-man that is just boxing out for you.
That's what he does.
Zach Edey will box out. He's going to create space down low for you to go attack rebound. So it's definitely an area he needs to improve upon, but I still think offensively he's a seamless fit with a ton of guys. I just wish he was more aggressive as a scorer, because he's so talented. Like, there's a club of dudes in the NBA, I think it's like, why aren't you averaging 26 a game? He's like top 5 on that list of why aren't you a 26 point per game scorer.
Yeah, that's valid.
I'll just say, I did not have him on my top
at all.
Wow.
Whoa. All right, man.
Okay.
Not top 10. We got to get to your list.
Okay, who's your 7?
Zion.
Wow. Okay, go with JJJ first.
I'll give my explanation on this, because this is he's one of the players on the gripe list.
Heck no.
We've already talked about the rebound, and like you said, that's floor level. Everyone knows he's a horrible rebounder, which is a problem to me, because I'm not gonna lie, being one of the worst rebounding bigs in the entire league, I think, is a fundamental issue, because it just hurts your roster building, because he can't play the 5. But his offense, I hate the way he plays offense. So he's an isolation big. My problem with him being an isolation big is similar to Chet and Mobley. He's a mismatch hunter. But the problem with that is Jaren Jackson Jr. is not like a crazy pull-up shooter. So the way that he hunts his mismatches, it's post-ups into floaters, and it's drives. My problem with that is you're not a good roller in the pick and roll, right? He's a good three-point shooter, but it varies year to year. You look at his percentages, it's a lot of variance, right? We're talking
about— I'd say he's overall solid, yeah, he's but I wouldn't call him, like,
but
great.
It's a ton of variance, right? And so when I look at that in the context of team building, Dre said he fits seamlessly with a lot of guys. I don't think he does.
He's still 20.
Because he don't fit with— if your whole bag is ISOing and mismatch hunting, but the way that you mismatch hunt is you take a 43% shot regardless of who's guarding you, I don't like that. And then, like I said, when you factor in that you have that on offense, and then on defense, you can't rebound. Like, you're physically incapable of rebounding. Desmond Bane averaged more rebounds per game last year than Jaren Jackson Jr. did. I can give a whole list of guys that is absurd that they average more rebounds per game, because he wasn't even top 60 in the league in rebounds per game.
That is pretty bad.
And so if you have these crazy warts on both ends of the ball, I can't value that. I'm sorry.
Nah, you got to have him top 10, though. Not having him top 10 is crazy.
I don't think I do. I think I'd comfortably take all of these names that I'm going to name.
I know you have Cam Johnson on your list. He's
no, I don't.
Oh.
Okay. I don't.
Oh. All right. Well, never mind him. All
okay.
Right.
So you're 7 Zion. We could talk about that. Who's your 7?
So one, I'll say this. I did not rank Zion at all. He's not on my list in any capacity. And the reason why is I'm not ranking Zion until he plays more. Over the last 4 seasons, he's playing 32 games per season. I'm not ranking Zion Williams until he averages at least like 50 games a season, dude. You're not making a list.
I don't hate that take.
He's not even going for awards if he played 50.
You feel me? Like, bro, you got to at least give me 50. So he's not going to make my list at all. But my number 7 is Paolo Banchero. I have Paolo Banchero.
That's a player I'd rather have over Jaren Jackson Jr.
He's above Jaren for me as well. I think Paolo, albeit it's not better than Franz, right? So I think Franz is better than him. I think Paolo Banchero is kind of getting into that point at time where it's like—
Do not say he's underrated.
No, he's not underrated. No, I think he's a bit overrated at time. But I think the nerds, all right, I'm going to call it the nerds here. I think y'all OD a little bit too much. Yeah, I'm talking about you. They OD a little bit too much about Paolo Banchero because of his efficiency, because of some of his on-off, stuff like that. I think at the end of the day, Paolo Banchero is still a good basketball player. I think, like, at a certain point in time, I think PRA matters. I'm waiting for the day where Paolo Banchero realizes that he's 6'10", 250, and doesn't have to play, you know, Carmelo Anthony simulator. I think that we'll see, you know, as his game kind of matures this season, because we'll be going into year 4. I think that we will see him kind of take like a step in that direction. And so I'm expecting him to take a leap as he gets older.
Honestly,
so
he's number seven. Really thinking a guy that has like the body and athleticism of LeBron James.
You think it's Carmelo Anthony?
The offensive skill of Kobe Bryant and the intensity of Kevin Garnett.
On offense and defense.
On offense and defense. Obviously, like, not to rag on
playoff
Paolo.
Riser.
Is he on your list?
He's a playoff riser.
Yeah, he's on my list. Funny enough,
he's on your list. Huh?
It's hard. Yeah.
We're not that far off on Paolo. I just think the sentiment around him, it just wavers so much as to what people expect from him. I'm sorry that I expect the 6'10", 250 guy that's an excellent
athlete. Not play Carmelo simulator?
I'm about to say to not settle for mid-range pull-ups that he's not good at. Like, that one playoff series that they lost, by the way, has just been ingrained into like Hezzy Pool FC. And I'm a member of Hezzy Pool FC.
Cavs series?
Yeah, that Cavs series where he was, was it, 40?
He was 40% from three.
Not a nasty
40% from three, and he was, 46% from mid-range. And his true shooting is like negative.
Go ahead.
Funny stat for that one, right? He shot 55% on mid-ranges.
Yes.
Would you like to guess what he shot at the rim?
Oh, wasn't it like 40? It was 40-some, wasn't it?
It was 45%.
Yes. Damn. He's 6'10",
so
250.
It's just...
And mid-range than he did at the rim. So
he's on my list, but I will say the propensity of him to just over-rely on jump shots is concerning to me. Not to be like a conspiracy theorist, I think a lot of it does stem from that ankle injury he suffered in his rookie year. And then I think he gained some weight that offseason. And then I think he's just been kind of in this like cycle of injuries in and out of the lineup. Like it happened again last year, where I think he's just not being able to get back to his kind of athletic form. And I mean, he's in way better shape than I am. I'm not saying anything, but like, I think he's become kind of jump shot reliant because he's not using his athleticism as much because he's been getting hurt a lot so early in his career.
He took 858 field goal attempts last year in the half court. How many of the art? A better question. What do you think he took more of? Mid-range jumpers?
It was
or layups at the
rim. It was the mid.
Oh yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. He takes too many middies.
405 dribble jumpers last year.
How many layups? Nearly half.
How many layups?
Layups he took 195.
Wow, not even
what?
It's crazy.
That's just not enough.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. Hey, he's 22 years old, bro. He gonna take back. I believe
223 total rim attempts in the half court.
Yeah. So that was your seven, right,
yes.
Paulo?
I have Paulo at eight.
Who's your seven?
I have the big Mond.
Draymond Green. You have Draymond Green.
No, sir.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You want to win a basketball game. Who would you rather have on your team?
For real. Oh, my God, bro.
Okay, over some of the guys I'm going to get to.
You want to win a basketball game?
No. When I get to my 8, 9, and 10, I would rather have these guys.
I went through the same debate you did, and I was like, nah, nah, and nah.
Wait, this is your 8?
This is my 7.
Seven.
He's
You're not going to like my number 10.
I probably won't. I think the thing for me with Draymond, and I think people have to accept it, I don't care. He's going to be 72 years old probably playing in the NBA still. He's the best defender of my generation.
Genuinely.
People can hate on him all they want. I had to see that dude 7 games play my favorite team last year and completely erase everything we wanted to do at every given turn. You tell me I need to go win a game, whether it be a play-in game, a playoff game. I need this for seeding. Give me Draymond Green over any of these dudes you're going to name afterward. I don't care about the offense. I don't care about – I genuinely –
You haven't named Paulo Banchero yet.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay.
I don't care about any of that else. Draymond Green is more – he's more impactful to winning basketball. He just is. At worst, Draymond is still the 5th best defender in basketball. At worst. And on his best night, I think I'm taking Draymond over all these other dudes, sans Wimby. Genuinely. He's your POA, he's your hedge defender, he's your help, he's your rim pro, he's your tag, he's everything. He's a one-man defense all on his own.
That is
more valuable than Paolo Banchero going, Melo, yay!
I don't have Draymond on my list, but I do think it is kind of funny as a Rockets fan when people are like, all the Warriors did was just throw Draymond Green at Şengün. Why was it Şengün better?
I mean, it is
like,
Draymond Green.
Like, you threw Draymond Green.
You drew,
Green,
like, man. The greatest defender of our generation.
One of the best
players. Yeah, like, yeah. I wonder why Şengün didn't have his best series, but he's not on my list. Is he on anybody else's list?
No, he's not. But
he's not?
I mean, I'll
be honest.
I don't know what you're saying. I disagree.
I kind of forgot about him.
Nah, I ain't forgot
about him. I'm very tempted to put him at 10, but I'm going to stick with the take I had coming in.
It's just, man, when you break it down, like, he just impacts winning basketball more than any of these dudes.
I don't hate that take at all. I don't hate that take.
Winning basketball.
Objectively,
he does.
Yeah, right.
That's
he does.
Your seven. Have
that's
you
my
said
seven.
Your seven?
Yeah, Mo Siakam.
You said your seven, right?
Yeah, I
have. Right. Mo Siakam.
Let's recap real quick, 1 through 7, and then we'll start back with you. We start with your 8.
All right, I have Giannis Antetokounmpo at 1, Anthony Davis at 2. I have Evan Mobley at 3, LeBron at 4, Pascal Siakam at 5, Jaren Jackson Jr. at 6, Draymond Green at 7.
Okay.
Do you want me to stop my 8 off?
Yeah,
or?
we'll go to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, he ranked KD last week. That's what's throwing me off. Giannis, LeBron, KD, AD, Chet, Mobley, Siakam.
I have Giannis, KD, AD, LeBron, Mobley, Pascal, Paolo.
Giannis, KD, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Siakam, Mobley, Zion.
All right, so who was Draymond Green better than?
Yeah.
Funny enough, I was ragging on Paolo. I have Paolo at 8.
Okay. Yeah, Paolo at 8. Okay.
All right, who's your 8?
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Okay, I have Jaren Jackson Jr. my 8 as well.
Okay.
So, list is starting to kind
Who's
of
yours? Who's yours?
He said Paolo.
Paolo at 8? Okay. Who's your...
Okay.
Well, I mean, everyone we've talked about here...
Yeah, we've already
so
talked about these guys.
Who's your 9?
My 9 is... he plays power forward for the New York Knicks, OG Anunoby.
Okay.
OG Anunoby.
I counted him as power forward last week, so...
I have Paolo at 9.
I'm kind of shocked by that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Scottie Barnes at my 9.
I have Scottie Barnes at my 9 as well.
That's I'll go ahead and spoil... Actually, can y'all win me over? I was debating between Scottie and Zion at 10. That was my
thing. Zion Williamson is healthy, I think not only is he on, he's a top 10 power forward.
He's like 5. I ain't gonna lie.
No, I was saying, if Zion Williamson healthy is not only is he on this list, he's high on this list.
Yeah.
He ranked 3rd in PER last year.
Is he don't
third.
Play. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. That's why I can't. He don't play.
I was gonna say, I was also torn, funny enough. I also was torn between Scottie and Zion. And
I mean,
but,
Zion's the better player.
No, but, and I came in here today with like literally like a hyphen between the two. I had like Scottie Zion.
I'm not lying. You see my list. I got 10, 11.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Daniel, back and forth. But I'll be honest, he sold me. 32 games a year on average.
32 games a season for the last four seasons.
As the guy who knocked Embiid down my top 10 players list because of availability, I can't rank Zion top 10. I can't do it.
Just so we're clear, that 32 is also somewhat skewed because he played 70 last year.
Yeah.
He did not play at all in that first of the 4 years. He played, I want to say, like 30, 40. Yeah.
Something like that.
That second season, played 70, played 30-something this year. He don't play.
Yeah. You can't be average.
I'm sorry. He don't play. So I didn't rank him.
But I also put Scottie in my 10.
I guess if we're projecting, I could say, like, maybe this is the year he does stay healthy.
I don't
like because if, and it's the biggest if, I think it's a bigger if than Embiid, genuinely, at this point. If Zion Williamson is healthy, we talk about the Pelicans differently. Like, he's that good. Like,
talk about a guy
he's really good.
Come in, like, change the league and just didn't do it.
I'm going to say, like, he's just.
But if you want to ask me what's more likely.
Number is right.
What's more likely? Scottie Barnes is going to stay healthy and he'd be better.
They don't say. What's more likely? I kind of trust the Scottie development over Zion being healthy next year, to be honest with you. And I'm not even like a Scottie Barnes.
I think
kind of concerns me, man. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going back and forth between on Scottie Barnes.
We talk about when we get to the previews.
Yeah.
I think that his situation.
It's kind of nasty.
They got nothing but like Brandon Ingram's a ball handler. Emmanuel Quigley's a ball handler. RJ Barrett's still on the team.
Contract, he's
RJ Barrett's a ball handler. And they got dudes, like you said, they're paying to be ball handlers. Obviously, he's the crown jewel of that team. He was their fourth pick, rookie of the year, all-star. He's still going to get his
ball. They drafted, we can get to it, but they drafted a guy who kind of plays his position this year. So it's.
Yeah.
I think talent for talent, he's still number 9.
And I would argue that maybe less ball handling reps is probably good for him.
I disagree. I think the allure of Scottie Barnes to me is that, as crazy as it sounds, he's a point guard.
Did you have him on your list?
I'm trying to see who can convince me. I had Zion at 10 coming into this.
The availability. I have Scottie.
Scottie was 11. I had Zion at 10. Scottie. Okay, so
I have Scottie at 10.
OG Anunoby.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
that's a good. I'm not mad at that. Okay, he was my 11.
And then we had Scottie.
Yeah, I have Scottie.
Okay. Yeah.
Who's y'all 10 then?
Y'all say we were already going to 10. Have you said your 10?
We're both Scotty. Or he's Scotty Zion, I'm Scotty.
And your 9 was
Skyon.
My 9 was Paulo.
Okay. All right. My 10, Jalen Johnson. I'm surprised I didn't rank Jalen.
I ranked him last week.
Okay. Yeah, you did
him. I ranked him last week.
I thought about listing him. I don't know. I don't know if he's better than these guys. That's just where I'm at. He's an excellent player.
I think he's going to take a leap this year because he's going to be a bit older. He's going into, I believe, year 5 for him now.
Yeah, he'll be year 5. Yeah. He was at 21.
And like I said, I think the Hawks are going to kind of surprise some people this year. I think they're surprisingly a pretty good roster. I think Trae Young's going to have a better season this year. I think a huge reason why Trae Young's going to look better this year, I think Jalen Johnson's going to take a leap, kind of take some of that pressure off of him. I think also talk about games that complement one another. I think Trae Young and Jalen Johnson can complement each other like perfectly. So I think that duo is going to be really good next season. And I think because of that, like I said, I could almost argue too he should be over Scotty.
I will say, if I was to rank him this week as a power forward, that's probably where I'd have him. I'd probably have him at 10. It's him and Scotty are right there.
Yeah, I debated him and Scotty. Honestly, having this conversation, I kind of want to. I might move Jalen up because, like I said, I forgot how nasty that rep situation is. But yeah. I'll stick to my guns.
I will say, I think just the overall point of like why I put a OG and an OB at 9, I think for his role, I think he's probably the best guy you can find for
he's great.
OG and an
OB. I agree.
Plays. I think what he does is so valuable. Like limited self creation chops for like.
And that's kind of why.
Pretty much the Draymond argument.
It kind of is like he's just so impactful, dude. Like he's, especially on that run the Knicks had last season, because he is like. He is POA. He is low man.
No, he is. He definitely is.
He's everywhere.
It's just for me, bro, the offense is just so limited. Like
it's limited, but like he's great at what he's limited at. Like he's a great catch and shoot shooter. I'm not gonna lie. He's limited, but like he'll give you 2-3 drives a game.
Lie,
and he's not gonna drive on some BS. He's gonna drive with intent. He's gonna drive between the Rockets winning and losing.
Yeah.
So like he's
upset
of Trevor
Ariza.
I still think he's like what he does in that role is valuable. I will say like my pushback for a guy like Jalen Johnson is I think him next season, they're expecting Reese Hoshea to have a leap. You brought in Kristaps Porzingis. Like, they brought in guys to kind of alleviate, I think, their main scores already. So, I just wonder
He was their number two. He was going to be an All-Star last year.
I think Porzingis is going to demand more touches than him.
I don't know.
I don't think
so.
Man, I think y'all forget.
Did they cure him yet?
I was gonna say the other problem. I would say I don't even think healthy Porzingis demands more touches than Jalen Johnson. But the other thing is, Porzingis is the kind of guy who's probably gonna miss some games.
I think he does that full health, but I think the thing that
I don't know if it full. I think Johnson gets more full.
Even when he's that full health, I think Atlanta is probably going to do a lot of like load management with him as well. So
and not just that. If you asked me to predict which like second year player makes it onto this list, it would probably be Risashe. Like I do think he's gonna take
my small forward.
Yeah, small forward to me. Did you by chance? Did you go past 10? Did you have like an 11?
No, I stopped.
Who was your 10?
Because I his 10 was Jalen Johnson too.
Jalen Johnson as well.
I think I'd probably rank.
Because you, who was the curveball you threw that I was mad at you for throwing?
He said he put Jaren Jackson at 11. Jackson.
Yeah, I'll say, and then you didn't have him as a top.
You'd put Jalen Johnson over Jaren Jackson right now?
I think I'd rather have Jalen Johnson.
Damn,
I'd rather have. I love Jalen Johnson, but he's very flawed in the half court. Like he's a transition monster, but he's very, very limited in that.
But I think that's where having Trae Young helps.
And I will say, as this podcast has gone on, last note on Jaren Jackson Jr., he is kind of selling me on this. Do y'all remember FIBA basketball 2 years ago when we went in with our only center as Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Do y'all remember?
And we were begging him to grab awards.
I was in the play-in game because we had money.
The play-in game was also.
I'll say,
the Warriors came out there with four guards and Draymond.
I said, we had money on that game and Jaren Jackson Jr. put on a stinker.
Literally no, like.
He's still top 10.
No,
I mean, he's top 10.
He's still top 10.
I have him at 8.
I'll say the gap between Jaren Jackson and Jalen Johnson is not used to me.
No, I remember we talked about it before the pod. Like I said this. I said after Pascal Siakam, man, a lot of these dudes are a toss up for me.
I was gonna say, you know, the funny thing because we were talking about this. I looked up some lists because I thought I was like, maybe am I forgetting somebody? You know who's not on this list? Julius Randle.
I listed him. He's my 12.
I would say I had him at 11.
He was in consideration. He didn't make it.
Randle at 10.
I'll say
Randle.
Julius Randle's my 11, and I think. No funny, bro. It is. I'm projecting leaps from Scotty and Jalen Johnson. That's why I have them higher.
I might have over Scotty.
But Julius Randle was really good for the Timberwolves last year.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm basketball. I hate his brand of basketball.
But he's good. He's good. I don't care.
Not gonna lie. I don't wish this on nobody. I think he had a kind of an outlier good year last year.
He might have did.
And it was also a contract year, and I'm just kind of like,
I'll say we've seen contract year Randle.
We've seen contract year Randle.
But regular season Randle, that's kind of on brand for what he is.
No, so that's kind of – it's but it's the playoffs that's always been the knock on Randle, right?
That's a fair point.
And, like, say what you want. Like, I think Paulo, for his rim inefficiency – Man, he shoots 40. He shoots 40 from three in the playoffs. I don't know what it is.
Sanders, he had a down year last year. Obviously, playing next to Ant, who
he had a good year last year.
He was only averaging 19 a game.
It was an efficient 19.
Yeah, so
and I think he played some of the best defense.
I'm not gonna lie, y'all can have that efficiency gimmick when like no funny. You go from 24 a night to 19. I don't care that your efficiency.
We know you're
the best. I mean, he's playing next to Ant now. It's different.
You can give me 22. Like, what are we doing? Like, you drop 5 points per game. Hey, I still think Julius Randle, he's an excellent basketball player. I hate his brand of basketball. That's just me.
I hate his brand of basketball.
One, he's more Helio than a lot of people want to admit. He's very, very ball dominant. It's why I question the fit with him and Ant. I still maintain that I don't think this is a long-term move. I don't think he's a Timberwolves pass this season. I'll be completely honest with you, but...
Yeah, I can see that.
I will say, like, on the Scottie Barnes point, on guys like Zion... Being a flawed one still has to mean something. Like, not everybody can be even a flawed one. It does have to mean something that, like, a team, an organization, a city at least trust you enough to say, like, can you win us 38 games?
So that, like, that was kind of my thing. That was kind of my thing. Like, I have play type. I have similar play type issues.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, but I have similar play type issues with guys like Paulo and Scotty. But my thing is, they're so much younger than Randle that I'm like, man, I'm going to bank on development for those guys. Yeah, those guys are in, like, their early 20s. So that's why when it came down to that, because I had Randle at 13. Like, he was definitely in consideration for me.
I said it. Like, after Pascal Siakam, all these dudes
did y'all
is a bit of a toss.
Were on y'all's list?
I didn't listen because I think he's playing the three next year with Aaron Gordon. Okay.
Yeah, that was my issue with him.
He'll probably be around if he were to be on this list. I'll tell you a guy that, like...
Oh, say, I almost ranked Aaron Gordon.
He was one. I'll tell you a guy that, like, after watching his film, I was like, man, like, I don't need top 10, but I might have to raise him up. Dude, John Collins. I ain't gonna lie, like, next season, him with James Harden might change his.
Man, I'll say, no, James Harden make him look better than he actually is.
Yeah.
They're projecting for next season.
I mean.
That's not a bad take.
That's cool, bro. I hate James. Like, you talk about people game we hit, I hate John Collins' game, but we don't gotta get into that this episode.
He wasn't ever gonna be top 10, but he ended up making, I ended up ranking like 16 guys. He ended up making it.
So, random tangent before I think we pivot to.
So, we should recap.
Tangent. Do you remember the slander nickname for Julius Randle in the playoffs? Dubious Handle.
Dubious Handle.
It just occurred to me. That's an all-time. Camp Man and Dubious Camp Handle. That's some of Twitter's best work, bro. Those are phenomenal names.
I was saying, that wasn't the best work.
Yeah. Camp Man's like a layup, but Dubious Handle, you put some thought into that.
That took some care.
But go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
At number one, I have Giannis Antetokounmpo. At two, Anthony Davis, followed by LeBron James, Evan Mobley, LeBron James, Pascal Siakam, Jaren Jackson Jr. Shut up. Jaren Jackson Jr., Draymond Green at seven, Paolo Banchero at eight. I went OG and Anobi at nine, and I will make the verdict. Zion Williamson will be healthy next year. He will be my number 10.
Yeah. So, Greek Freak, kid from Akron, Slim Reaper, Day-to-Day Davis, Chet Nyahu, Mobley Mob.
What?
What? Spicy P, Jaren Jackson Jr., Paolo Banchero, and Scotty Barnes.
Scotty and Paolo.
You're never being sponsored.
That speaks for himself. I have Giannis at one, KD at two, AD at three, LeBron at four, Mobley at five, Pascal Siakam at six, Paolo Banchero at seven, Jaren Jackson at eight, Scottie Barnes at nine, and Jalen Johnson at 10.
I have Giannis at one, KD at two, LeBron at three, AD at four, Siakam at five, Mobley at six, Zion at seven, Paolo at eight, Scottie Barnes at nine, and honestly, I think I'm going to put Julius Randle at 10.
Dang.
I would say it sounded like for the most part everybody had like the same names in the same range. So this was a lot less controversial. But are you ready for the game today, man?
Let's do it.
He's been hyping his game up, man.
So,
in honor of 2K26 coming out when y'all see this, it'll be
my headset.
It'll be live.
Follow me on Twitch. I will be live on Twitch streaming 2K26 when it drops.
If you want to watch somebody not pass the ball. But come out when y'all see this episode. So what I want you guys to do today is I need y'all to name to me every MVP candidate that's been on the cover of 2K. And I need you to tell me what 2K they were on as well.
Every candidate?
I'm sorry, winner.
Winner?
Every MVP winner.
So what about the ones who...
Okay, well, Shay...
Shay's easy.
Okay, so James Harden was on...
Okay, so Shay was... Well, you got some
work backwards. Work backwards.
Tell me
Shay...
26.
Yeah, Shay this year.
26. 25... No MVP.
No MVP.
24 would have been. That was Kobe cover. So Kobe.
Yeah.
Do we count Kobe because he won
MVP? Yeah, he
is.
So
Kobe, and I'll say, Kobe cover.
I did not count the special editions. Right. So
okay. That's fine.
Kobe 2K24. 23 was.
I don't think.
Who the heck was 23?
Wasn't like Booker? Am I tweeting?
Booker was 23. Booker didn't win 23 because that was the B legendary cover.
22
was.
I don't think that was an MVP winner either.
I'm knowing all these names. I'm just staying quiet.
No, I don't want to say 22 was an MVP winner. 20 was 20 or 21 AD.
I think
either way.
He's not a winner.
Yeah,
but I think 20 was AD. 19 was Giannis.
Yeah, 19 was Giannis. So Giannis. Kyrie was 18. No MVP.
No MVP.
17 was Paul George. No MVP. 16
was Curry and Harden.
That was the three-man cover, right? Curry and Harden.
Didn't Zion get one? That wouldn't count, right? But that was 20.
Zion was 20.
Zion was 2020 or 2021.
He was 21.
I'm saying, I'm pretty sure Zion got one. Yeah.
So, y'all got Stephen Harden in 2K16.
15 would have been Kevin Durant. Yep. Kevin Durant on 2K15. 2K14 was LeBron. LeBron on 2K14.
Yep, 14
2K13 was...
It was...
Was that a triple cover again?
It was KD. Blake and
I want to say Derrick Rose. I want to say Derrick Rose was 2K13. That was the Derrick cover. 2K12. I want to say that was a Jordan cover.
So Jordan was on the cover, but there are.
Is there another one?
There's other guys in this.
Okay, do we get the Jordan one?
Because yes,
Jordan's also
Jordan 12. Who was the?
Who are we missing?
2K12.
There was two other people on that list.
Two George missing two.
2K12 from that. Well, not from that era, but
who was on?
You would think of
2K12 cover.
2K12 cover. I only remember
the greatest
Jordan.
Rivals of all time.
Magic and Larry.
Magic
and
Bird. That was the Magic Bird. Yeah. 11 was Jordan again. I think he was the only cover.
Is that all of them?
2K10 was Kobe.
Yep.
2K9 was Kevin Garnett.
Yep. Yeah.
2K8 was
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul at. No, I thought Chris Paul was.
I'll spoil it because it's.
I'm tripping.
You're correct. It's Chris Paul.
It's Chris Paul.
Live and 2K.
Yeah. 2K7
One of these is...
Okay, one of them got out the way. I forgot what 2K was, but he was on like three of them. Allen Iverson from like 2K1 to 2K like three or whatever.
Deadass is on the first.
And Shaq was on 2K5, Miami Heat.
Yep.
Shaq is not on 2K5.
2K6 then?
Yes.
2K6 Shaq, Miami Heat.
Okay, so
AI 1, 2, 3. So it's just 4 and 5 then.
You're missing two more names.
Oh. What year? Can I get that?
Dirk? Is Dirk on one?
2K4 and 2K7.
Who the heck was 2K7's cover?
Tim Duncan?
No.
I'm just throwing out MVP winners at this point. Charles?
2K7.
I'll give you a hint. Y'all said the both answers or names have been said already.
Oh, now this is gonna bug me.
Was it LeBron?
So it was 4 AI then?
2K4 is AI.
4 is AI.
Okay, he did just had the first.
Yes, AI. Our option was from 2K1 to 2K4.
Yeah.
Okay.
7.
Was it LeBron in 7?
Nope.
No.
LeBron didn't get his first cover until
14.
7. 2K7. Why can I not remember who's on 2K7?
Easy to think about, but.
Why can't I think of 2K7's cover?
You said the name already.
I can't think of it either.
I mean, you said the name.
6 was Shaq. 8 was Chris Paul.
It wasn't Garnett. Kobe? Twice, is it?
Nope.
Kobe was 10. Garnett was 9.
MJ?
Nope. Same
it
guy.
Has to be like a
same guy who was here before.
Oh, was Shaq did go back to
Shaq again?
Shaq did go back to 2K7. Yeah,
and then I wrote down the legendary covers. Jordan was in 2K16.
Yeah.
17 was Kobe. 18 was Shaq. 19 was Bron again. Kobe got it again in 21. Yeah. Kareem and KD were in 22. And Jordan was in 23.
Yeah.
Go first.
You did that kind of easy.
I said that was going pretty
bad.
You know what I'm saying?
I got Shaq went back to back.
Yep.
He
was
a bizarre first like six covers.
Five guys also were on.
You want to check us out?
All right, man. That has been another episode of the Right Read Podcast. We appreciate you all for stopping by. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram,
Twitter,
YouTube. The whole nine yards, YouTube.
Listen to us on Spotify.
In the description. Listen on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. And that has been the Right Read Podcast. We will see you all next time.